Welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports right here on A Chat in the Garden. Well, welcome to Season 8. Yes, can you believe it? We have been doing this for 8 seasons. I cannot believe it, but it is a total joy. A total joy. And you will not believe, but I am booked all the way up to April. Yes. So that tells me that we are serving the audience that I desire to do. And I stopped in the middle of that because I'm going to talk about it more with our guest today, the reason why I started A Chat in the Garden. But I will say it was definitely a download from God, because that was not something I set up to be. And, you know, podcasts are all the hit now. So we've been around 8 years. We can say that we are OG community here. But I will say this. I chose the word garden instead of group or all the other terms that people use for community, because I wanted to plant the seed that to be in this business, you got to be willing to grow. And growth is uncomfortable. And if I can get you to see that with the conversations with the guests and their journeys, that if you go back and listen, they're all different. And even the ones that are similar are still different. And it's not a straight line. And, you know, I was just thinking about it. I think it was yesterday when it was raining. And, you know, some people don't like rain. And I'm like, well, you know, we have to have rain to grow. It's a purpose in every season. And so many people come to me when they want to be or are in transition, and many of the times that they are still bitter about the situation in which has caused them to replant themselves. And I use this an analogy of gardens and growth and repotting to take the sting out of what is going on in their head. You have to reprogram your brain in order to get to your better. And that was one piece. Then the second piece, which was my main reason, was the fact that, you know, when we say we want to increase the pipeline with minority women, but yet and still you don't interview, you don't reach out, and that would happen to me a lot when I was a social commissioner. You know, people were asking me, I'm looking for a minority woman, a black woman, and I would give them my, everywhere I went, I would collect resumes. That's before LinkedIn. And I said, okay, even though I'm not in that role anymore, people will still call me. And I said, well, let me make a place where people can go and see for themselves. And that's what I did, started 8 years ago this month. And what I will say, if you were interested in listening to season 1 through 6, and let's be clear, many of the interviews that I did 8 years ago, those individuals have moved on to different institutions. But the meat of what we're trying to do is about your entry level and how do you progress through different careers and levels of athletic administration and sports business. The executive suite, we've expanded to that level. Go to 200plus.expert, 200plus.expert. to gain access to season 1 through 6. And the reason that is, when we began 8 years ago, we were a member of the Survival Radio Network. And since then, the founder has passed away, and we never wanted to lose access to our podcast, so we uploaded and made it a course so that you could have access to it. So congratulations to us. And one of the things we're going to do by celebrating, we're going to, one of the connecting events, and the Lord willing that we still stay open, if you will, we're going to celebrate with our first connecting event in a very long time. I mean, it's over a year. Will be September the 10th in Washington, D.C. We're going to the Washington Mystics game. And I'm just about to seal that deal. And if you want to be a part of that crew, September 10th is a Friday night. We're going to the Washington Mystics game. And we're going to hang out and network. And, hey, you know the most important part? We are celebrating one of the Advanced Academy members. That's our membership program. Monthly membership program, who just got the executive, what's the term? She's selling tickets, okay? And so we bought a buckle of tickets to support her. And so if you are in that area that sell tickets and you need some support, and WNBA is a no-brainer. But even if you're a football, a baseball, going to try to plan a trip with hockey so that we can support those who are a member of us and to grow together, all right? So email me if you're interested in joining us September 10th in Washington, D.C. My email address is MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info, or you can just inbox me on all social medias that we are connected with. Now, this season 8 is a little different. It's a little different because many of you all are getting ready for the big return. Now, I like the big return versus new normal. There's nothing normal about this. And I need you to erase that from your brain. Yes, because life, as we know it in athletics, has definitely changed because the world has changed. We've been exposed to so many things. And so you just got to be, you've got to be compassionate. You've got to be empathetic. And you just got to have your eyes wide open, okay? And I was delighted to speak to one of the universities that I did do a virtual workshop, I believe it was in the spring. And I was requested to work with the coaches as it relates to the portal. And those that are listening who are unaware, the portal is a mechanism that students, athletes can put their name in if they're ready to transfer from their current institution. And, you know, that was like the little first tear in the division of how we used to do things in athletics for students and then how students began to have their voice. And now that tear has come into a gigantic difference. And from some of the individuals that have been doing this for, I've been doing it for 30 years, it's difficult because you don't really like change. But you need to embrace the change because otherwise you will not be a part of the change. And that's one of the things that I do with one of my interactive workshops. And I think my workshop helps you see how you embracing it is not as painful as you think. I call it newly committed. It's called the newly committed game. And so I spoke with one of the, again, the organizers of the campus that brought me there, and she said they're still talking about it. And the coaches began to either say, oh, I'm on the right track, or I need to embrace the holisticness of my student-athlete. And, you know, it's like anything else, like diversity. If you show how diversity will enhance the bottom line, you'll get the corporation to put money into it. If you can show a coach that if you invest in the holisticness of your student-athletes, you get more wins, then they will invest in the process of the change. Because, honestly, you know, we've seen movies and whatnot, and just think about it. Something that crossed my mind, and it's kind of funny, I think about Madea. Most time Madea has a young child in the movie, and the young child is misbehaving, and, you know, she tries to scare them into obedience, if you will. But it's not until kid sees that's just a hard exterior and they really care about me as a person, that they will fight for me just as much as they fight with me. That's when the storyline changes. And that's what you need to do. And if you're an administrator, you got to be able to portray that. And you portray that by doing that with the coaches. You know, ask them. I mean, this is going to probably be quite uncomfortable, but, hey, this is what the garden's about. This is what about being uncomfortable, about to grow. You know, when you have the big return, ask the question, did you lose anybody during COVID? Ask that question, all right? And then ask the other pandemic that was going on. Did they lose anyone during the social unrest that we have been in? And listen to the answer. Just don't do it to check the box, because they can read that, they can smell that, as sure as you can see your finger in front of your eyes. So, yeah, today's a different day. The big return is different. But I want to, if the newly committed game has piqued your interest, please reach out to me. And that is one of my ones I'm pushing. I still have my signature workshops, you know, that help you revise and relook at how you are meeting your goals and objectives and values and mission. Are you still doing that on your college campus? And you do need that, because you need that refresher to say this is what our why is. This is why we're here. But in addition to that, I put it the newly committed game so that people can be able to grasp that and hold that for the rest of the year. So, and that's really, honestly, that's my bread and butter. That's why I do the podcast, so that I can get the word out that these are the services that I offer. But that's really to help you grow on your campus. Because if you're the ones that bring me there and it's a hit, guess who they believe that your leadership is great? You. And so that's my planting that seed with you. Now, today I'm excited about bringing on Dr. Jasmine George Williams, but she's also a sponsor of the Chatna Garden. So I'm going to do my usual pitch for her book. It is Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation. And so we're going to talk more about this book, but you need to go ahead and go grab it. And you can go grab it on her platform, which is bit.ly/drgsbook. Again, bit.ly/drgsbook. And we're going to talk more about that. But, hey, based on what I've just been saying, that our big return and it's different, you're definitely going to want to have this book on your bookshelf. It's kind of crucial because I've been to a couple of workshops, and what has been said more than anything else is to be ready for the resistance. Be ready. I just read a young person on LinkedIn, 12 years old, wrote an opt-in and said that they attended something, and it said that the Boy Scouts were the future leaders of America, and the Girl Scouts were just having fun. Young lady, 12 years old, and she, her ears perked up that this is not right. So that young lady is a leader, okay, because she spoke out and she put it in the local newspaper of where she lived, and she's bringing awareness to that. And so if she's 12 and she's doing that, your young people are very alert to what's going on. And let's be clear, and this is what I talked about in my class last spring. I think I tried to spark some term papers on these subjects. There's a reason why there's a resistance for our communities not to take the vaccine. There's a mistrust in communities of color, because traditionally our population has been used as a test dummy. And so to some people, it's a sense of ignorance not doing the vaccine. But to some people, quite aware of the history, I'm going to say Tuskegee experiment. I mess her name up all the time, but there's a book about Helena Sales. I think the lady's name was Helena, and they used her sales to build antibody drugs for different things. But she didn't give consent to use her body parts as that. She passed away, but they used her cells to do that. I think Oprah prayed her in a movie, but it was a book first. And the lady is from Virginia, okay? So these are real-life people. These are real-life people who have families who never forget these things. So that calls for education to explain to the people who are demanding certain things, and why it's important to educate and to show and to explain why there should certain communities that may be apprehensive. And so, hey, these folks are coming in here strong with their opinions, and you got to be able to assist them in that way. I had a student reach out to me last week and said, I want to contribute to your business. I said, well, honey, mine is a nonprofit. You just can't donate. Go buy something. He says, no, you helped me out so much. And all I said was, all I did was direct you to the resource. And you use the resource and you helped yourself. And so that's what you want to be able to do with some of the resources I share with you today, like Dr. Jasmine George's book. And the second one that I'm always pitching is Surviving the Lights of Professional Athletes Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. Now, I'm sure she's going to probably update that in some manner with name, likeness, and image, but the fact that they need to have folks on their staff, a lawyer, you know, especially with the different states governing how the monies they earn and how it's going to be taxed. And like I understand in Georgia, they have to give 75% of their earnings back to athletic departments, you know. And then there's some institutions that you have to pay for their logo. And some institutions, they're not going to let you use your logo at all. So, but the kids get so excited about whoever's approaching them. So Surviving the Lights is a professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse. Is about the financial responsibility and things to consider. And so, Anne actually has like a little script about how to let down family members who may not be the best to serve what is going on ahead. Okay. And unfortunately, so Tawana Smith's book is on Amazon on three different formats. Paperback, audio, and ebook. The second issue of Significance Magazine is on delay. I really hate to say that. That you don't know how much that my heart makes my brain hurt. But I think it was Sunday. She said it would be ready. It would be uploaded to Amazon in 5 days. Let's just hope that that's a true statement. But we're getting closer and closer. But in the meantime, the first issue is still up on Amazon. I really would love to get this in the hands of the next generation. There are so many different careers in athletic administration that our young people don't know about, like social workers in sport. And just what I just said about explaining situation with the vaccine, it's going to take a wider view to explain that to the powers that be. And most of the time it would come from somebody from the social worker lens to explain the dynamics of how society affects the mindset of our student athletes. So you need to get one of those on your Rolodex. And there's a couple of those individuals in this magazine. And it also talks about certification. And I'm pushing most of my students. And, like, you know, you may want to go into psychology. You might have an interest in that. And you might have interest in sport. So why not get a certification in the sports realm so that you can have the opportunity to serve athletics or serve student athletes in this manner. So, again, if you like to purchase the magazine in bulk for your student athletes or your teams or management, this is really what I'm thinking, that it would be really great to serve as a sport, as a supplement to your course. So I can give that to you in bulk if you're interested. Email me, MoniqueAJSmith@SeasonEmpowerment.info. Or guess what? You just go on Amazon and just click the button, Significance in Athletics and Sports. And let's see what else. Oh, yes. I forgot. Oh, I'm reading. You know, I just read a whole lot. I was reading something somewhere about additional income streams. And how important that is. And so that's why I pushed Jolene Robinson Stepping to Win. She is a retired basketball coach, Division II, conference champion several times. And now she is now coaching women in the financial investor game. We all need additional income streams. I really hope you really see that now with this, with the big return, you know, I see a lot of signs that say we're hiring. That tells you a lot of people will let go. And so even though it wasn't permanent, you need to have some permanent income streams in some kind of way. So definitely if you're interested in that, and let's just say it's two different kind of income. You know, there's active income and there's passive income. And the financial investor game is passive. Because I'm trying to tell you, if you're up here moving around, you're sure not going to see any results. And I love CDs. I always would tell my students, especially my female students, you know, when they're after their first work for the first year or something, if you get a tax return, just take all of that and put it into a CD. Because you weren't using it. You didn't need it, and it's new money, and let it work for you. Well, unfortunately, now CDs have a low interest rate, And so you might want to be looking at some other things. So don't take my word for it. A hookup with Jolie Robinson. You can text her at 980-298-2231. Again, it's 980-298-2231. Or you can email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Again, that's steppingtowin.com. And that's a number two. And I just got one more thing I just want to talk about. And it's really because we just finished with the Olympics. I'm just really happy for Simone Biles, who got her bronze last night. It was last night for me. I think it was probably 2 days ago when it actually happened. But, again, we're going to talk about it with Dr. Jasmine shortly, but that's a form of activism. And, I'm here to tell you that be ready, because you're going to have some students to be able to speak their truth about that, too. And you got to go ahead and create some policies for that, to be ready for that. Because if you don't, it's going to catch you by surprise. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't. I always say, whatever you see on the pro side, and I'm just saying Olympics on the pro side, be ready for it to hit you at home. And as soon as the Kaepernick thing, I was teaching collegiate athletic administration, and I told my class, this class is like a staff meeting. And whatever you see on the outside, what are you going to be prepared for? And they all looked at me like I was crazy, because it was like the first day of class when Kaepernick took the knee. And I said, what you got to be prepared for? And they were like, huh? And I said, because this is going to happen on your campus. And sure enough, what I thought, I said, I want you to find, pick an institution and see if they have such a policy. And no one had a policy because they weren't prepared for it because it just happened. So that was actually the first day of class. At the end of the class, they all had to have a prepared policy by studying what everybody else was doing and create one. And so that's what I'm saying to you all. Be prepared to deal with students saying, I'm not going to compete, because I'm having a mental a mental health day. I like what I heard the interview last night. And I don't know. I think you might want to get that and record that and play that. Is that it was not her decision by herself. She had a staff of mental health individuals, athletic trainers, sports psychologist. She said that she was having a hard time having counting, and she was turning, and then they evaluated her, and then the key word was she was medically cleared to compete. So you need to be able to educate all beings that this is the procedure for that to happen. Otherwise, you're just going to have folks say on Twitter, I'm not going to compete because I got a lot going on. And you won't know how to process or deal with that. My 2 cents, again, I'm a consultant. I just want to bring that to your attention. And I do want to say one more thing. I did put inside the group something about the pressures and how it affects athletic administrators. And I see a lot of responses. Even among the three, I take a mental health day, I welcome help, I struggle, I find a way to push through. And so I do want you to check your own mental health, that's my 2 cents with that. So I'm excited. I got notes, y'all. So hopefully I will be quiet and let our speaker talk about it. But I'm excited about bringing Dr. Jasmine George Williams, assistant professor, University of Laverne, and author of the book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Jasmine.
Hello.
Hey,
happy
you
to be
you
in the garden.
Yeah.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you quite well.
Microphone check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hi, Miss Monique. How are you?
I'm great. I hope you can hear my smile.
Yes, yes, yes. I can hear it. I hope you can hear mine as well. Happy to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. I hope I set the stage up for you. I hit with 3 or 4 things to get the mind right. What we're going to
That's
talk
right.
about today.
I love that. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, ready. I'm ready.
Well, before we get going with the book, let us start with your journey from college to current position. Let them know how you got to where you are.
Ooh, I know we're on a time crunch, but let me tell you, I've had you know, many, many adventures that led me to this exact moment. I'm a proud, you know, middle child, only girl, had multiple boy cousins. So my, you know, the stage of being competitive for just no reason, anything you can do, I can do better, brothers and cousins and all of that, that started, you know, really honestly as a little one. And, you know, was a former athlete. I also coached during grad school. You know, when we talk about the big return and all the different factors that will be plaguing students, you know, one of them will be injuries and how they were able to take care of themselves and probably one of the longest off seasons, right, that they have endured. And I played basketball point guard, and I injured my knee in high school, my senior year. I did not, you know, rehab it in the way that I should have. You know, when you start feeling well, you still have to rehab over that hump. You have to strengthen your muscles and things like that. I didn't. I was a knucklehead. When I went to up north or Northern California to play, I tore my knee a little more. And so I had to make that decision of, you know, stay in school one more year or, you know, pivot to just academics. And so I remember saying to myself, I don't want to be in school this long. And then I look up, now I got a whole PhD, and you know, yeah, I was in school forever. But I had to make that decision. It's really full circle as we talk about mobiles and sports psychology. I was up at Sacramento at the time when the Kings and the Lakers, you know, it was the Western Conference, and that dang Robert Horry tip. And I was up at Sac State. And so my mom had watched something on TV that there was a wave of depression in the state, in Northern California. And she said, have you heard of sports psychology? And at the time I had not. And so that's actually what my mindset was going into. I was a psych major undergrad, and I continued to coach students, coach little ones. And then I ended up coaching in high school at my old high school basketball as well as softball. And my thought process, I wanted to either, you know, be in sports psychology or an athletic director. But as you know, those are very coveted jobs, beautiful jobs, and folks don't leave until they retire or, you know, go on to glory. And so I had to pivot. I worked in the athletic department at Cal State Los Angeles for about 3 years, one of the best bosses that I've ever had in the sports information department. And shout out to Chris Hughes. He was great. And so that's where I was really able to pivot where, okay, I may not be able to play ball anymore, but there is a way to continue your love and continue to be around sports in different ways in athletics. And so that was the big pivot for me is saying, how can I, you know, there's something about psychology and counseling. I love being able to help folks, but I can't let go athletics. And so that's where that journey started with me, and to finding different ways to fuel my passion and to keep, you know, sports right at the heart, but unfortunately not being able to, you know, to dribble the ball at a competitive level. You know, education-wise, like I said, I got my bachelor's degree in psychology, and then during grad school I was able to coach and to mentor and run different, you know, basketball clinics. And then went to University of Laverne, where I'm faculty now, but I received both my master's there in student services and college counseling, and then school counseling. So that's where I teach in the school counseling program, which is wild because, you know, full circle, there's folks that used to be your professors and now you call them by the first name. But very, very privileged, you know, privileged and blessed to be able to teach in that program. But, you know, before that, there's a ceiling to opportunities at times with, you know, we were for those that are in education, higher education. So I was only able to adjunct. And then I said to myself, I love teaching. I want to provide an opportunity for myself. I don't want a ceiling. And so there were opportunities where, oh, you know, Jasmine, we really love you, but you don't have a doctorate. But, you know, we can't give you another class because, and so I said to myself, I never want to be put in another situation where there is a but, where there is we love you, but. And so I strived to earn my PhD in higher ed at Azusa Pacific University here in SoCal. And that's where the game came. So I don't know where we're going to pivot, but that's where that activism as an adult really started to flourish. But I'm the proud kid of two activists. They both passed on. My daddy was born and raised in Alabama. He was a former member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense out here in L.A. And my mom was an activist in her own right. She was an educator in the Los Angeles Unified School District. And, you know, you hear stories and, you know, you put pieces together, but she led strikes. I found this big plaque that she got in 1989. She led a few strikes. So I said, okay, Mama, she was protesting. So it's been in my DNA, but just different life and things that were happening in the climate and me earning my PhD, it was a beautiful culmination to, you know, the journey and to being a scholar activist that I am today. So I'll stop there because I could talk all day, but that was kind of a fast track of a little bit of my childhood being an athlete and then pivoting to being a, you know, a scholar activist, professor, and author.
So what did you get your PhD in?
Higher education. Yeah, higher education. And Azusa Pacific is a strength-based institution. So if y'all are familiar with, you know, Strengths Finder. So essentially I got my PhD in higher education, but I guess it would be the equivalent of a minor in strength-based leadership. So I run, you know, I consult as well, but I incorporate this in all of my classes with Strengths Finder and mentoring and things like that. Of that nature. So it's fun. Very eclectic journey, but at the end of the day, it's activism and advocacy and helping folks find their calling. That is what makes my heart sing.
Well, we're going to take a really, really, really a short break here, and when we return, I'm going to ask some questions to deep dive into the book.
All right.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the chat in the ground with Stephen Blooms in athletics and sports. And we are here with Dr. Jasmine George Williams, the author of Love is the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation. And so, hey, I want to talk about, because, again, I love this book because it's a workbook, and I got notes everywhere. And I want to talk about Chapter 5, Know Your Roles. Can we kind of deep dive into that, and then I want to talk about Chapter 6, Choose Your Vehicle. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know the two things I want to talk about so that you won't stay too long on one and not the other.
Sure. You know, that was really the meat of the book. I put it together so many different, you know, like I said, I shared a little bit of my background and journey. And so it's in researcher term, it's triangulation, right? So it's got a little bit of my journey of being a scholar activist and breaking down each chapter, sharing a little bit about my journey, but most importantly, the athletes that I had the pleasure of working with and working alongside with in my dissertation, but continuing in their journey, what were some of the different roles and what were some of the vehicles of activism that they incorporated in their journey, as well as activists of color, and community activists. And so I triangulated, right, all three of these journeys, myself, theirs, and shared quotes, shared their journeys. And so from that, I chose and incorporated the common roles. I did kind of an umbrella of three different types of roles in activism. And there's different stems and different, vehicles that may branch off from there. And then, like I said, the vehicles of activism. So there's so many different ones, but I incorporated kind of the most common three of their journeys and that I was able to, utilize in my life thus far. And the reason why I wanted to do that, one of the reasons was I wanted to demystify when folks think of activists, right? So you hear the word activist or activism. In many ways, what's the first visual people see? People at protests with their fists up, things along those lines. That's just one beautiful avenue, one beautiful vehicle, one beautiful goal. And so from their narratives, I wanted to say, hey, hello, there's so much diversity in your role, your God-given role, because we're all called for this fight. Monique, you've been in the game. You've mentored folks who are operating in their calling. And so I equated that as well with activism. And the roles that folks play.
Well, let me, because I want people there to see themselves in it. So tell everybody what's mm-hmm. the agitator.
So an agitator. So these are the folks that, we need them. They get the party started. They essentially light that torch, that fire. Like I said, they're probably the most common of the roles that we see. So these are folks that, they put an issue on blast. They make sure that if there's some sort of issue, some sort of topic in society, they put it on some sort of blast, essentially, in some sort of dramatic or nonviolent action, right? They're important because they prevent society, they prevent a whole, any sort of denying or violation of a widely held value. So a beautiful example. That, as we've seen, was at certain capitals, there was this beautiful Black Lives Matter that you could almost see from space, right? Those are agitators, baby. Those are agitators. And so there's different vehicles, obviously, to utilize that. but they are the folks that maybe there's an issue or there's something that has happened. They bring about that awareness to the masses. And then depending on where you are in your calling, then you engage, right, and be a part of hopefully trying to dismantle or solve or, you know, continue to further the issue by awareness, depending on your role. Those are the adjectives.
So who are reformers?
Reformers, those are the folks, and I think this might be many of your listeners. These are folks that have a proverbial seat at the table, right? These are folks that have some sort of, you know, not necessarily clout, but influence, right? They're leaders in some way. And the beautiful thing, like I said in the book, it's some that are athletes that shared about the different ways in which they engage in leadership, right? Either in student government, they were captains on their team, they were part of, you know, let's say if they were Black or African American, diaspora, they were student leaders. They, you know, they created different programs and groups. They were leaders. They had some sort of influence. These are folks that are part of different systems, but they're actively looking to chip away or dismantle or tweak or really better whatever the system is and change some sort of new conventional way. So we all have some sort of ecosystem, right? But there are some folks that hold leadership positions and they have some sort of ability to make change. For instance, myself as a lead regional faculty member, we just did a complete revamp of our program. And so I made sure that there was diversity in the authors. We all see, whether if it's a predominantly white institution or predominantly white institution, we look at the syllabi and it's a bunch of old white men. But we know there's beautiful scholars and there's scholars that are diverse, right, that students really need to learn about their scholarship. So as a reformer, as a seat at the table, as someone that has an opportunity to make change, there's more diversity. There's Black, there's Latinx, there's BIPOC individuals, those that are part of the LGBTQIA community that are authors that the students will be able to read in the class. So that's just one of the examples, but you work with some sort of official structures and you're part of a system per se. That's a reformer.
What's a change agent?
A change agent and a reformer, they're cousins in some way, shape, or form. And I say this because the times that I've been able to be a versatile activist and work in different ways, they are the folks that they work to educate, they organize, and the difference is they involve the general public to actively oppose some sort of present policies, and they seek you know, positive, constructive solutions. A beautiful example that we've seen is the way in which not just, you know, political pundits or those that worked, you know, in politics directly, but even social media. I learned so much leading up to the November election last year that, you know, different policies from my neighborhood, from my city, right, from my state, and then, of course, federally. And these are folks that shared different either language, vocabulary to the general public. So I say social media. But then there are also folks that were just campaigning and just providing information to people. An example that I'll be doing next month is I'm going to be leading a critical race theory panel. And it's going to different our Inland Valley NAACP chapter. We're going to do it. Most likely it will be a webinar as we see what's going on in the world. But it's a panel of us educators, and we're going to demystify critical race theory. So we're involving the general public and hopefully educating them and enlightening them that CRT is beautiful and not, you know. anyway, that's a whole different game. But in a nutshell, the change agent works with the general public in one way, shape, or form.
And that's kind of what I thought the podcast is, and that's what I put put in my workbook. So that's why I say this book will help you figure out how you fit into society today. So let's talk about the vehicles, which is chapter 6, and the one of them is a public display symbolic activism. That's a vehicle that you use, that you talk about. What
right. It was hard, you know, it was hard to try to narrow down. But once again, you know, I wanted this book to be digestible for anyone and everyone. And that's another reason why You know, there's obviously some wonderful terminology. I get kind of a little bit of a history lesson. I try to break down particular terms. And, you know, at the end of each chapter, there's calls to action. There's reflection points. And I think it's the counselor in me. But, you know, trying to narrow down about four ways that folks can, you know, engage. How can you operationalize your activism? And so symbolic and or public displays of activism, they're related as well. They're cousins. Public displays, you know, like I mentioned earlier, they're probably the most, not necessarily well-known, but the media captures those, you know, in many ways. So it's protests, marching, walking for different causes, you know, kneeling if you're athletes or if you're not athletes, right? And this can happen in an individual or a group occurrence. The Sovereignty of Quiet was a book that really changed the game for me as I was writing my dissertation, and it really broke down what happens when you put your fist up or if you decide to sit down during the national anthem. What happens within you? And it's invigorating, and it's frightening, and it's all of those things, and so it can happen. Happen as a group. So that's the public display, a way in which, you know, you're displaying, right, a cause or, you know, wanting to let the masses know, you know, and bring up a topic or issue and bring about awareness. So that's public display. Symbolic is very similar, but the difference is it's deliberate actions exhibited to draw attention, right, to social injustices and really inspire this positive change. And it can be, Monique, you know, political, educational, economic, social, you name it. And a few examples that I put in the book and then when I present and talk to folks, you know, it's wearing your cause, right? It's folks that have loved ones that have battled with cancer, have lost the battle with cancer, shaving their head, right? Any sort of artistic activism, putting your fist in the air, writing a cause on your uniform, right? Black Lives Matter, whatever the case. In my office, of course, I have Black Lives Matter, but I also have Safe Zone stickers. So that's training that we do at our institution for our students and our faculty and staff that are part of the LGBTQIA community. So I want them to know that they're safe with me. Nonetheless, these are just different ways symbolically that we are letting the people know this is what we care about. So they're similar. However, there's a little more diversity in the symbolism. But those are two of the most well-known, I would say, vehicles of activism that people have engaged in the book and that I've been able to witness as well.
Well, the one I like the most is scholarly activism, and I put them from my examples, documentaries.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Monique, I love documentaries. I think I always did, but I was pregnant in the pandemic. So all I did was watch TV and laugh and eat with my husband. And so we watched a lot of documentaries. And scholarly activism was the way in which I was called during this time to give back. Like I just mentioned, we found out we were pregnant March 10th. The world shut down March 13th. And so I felt helpless, right? I wanted to continue to support, lean in to this beautiful movement, right, as we were navigating multiple pandemics. And so there were folks, both white and Caucasian counterparts, non-black counterparts, calling, texting me, Jazz, teach me. I'm so sorry if I've ever microaggressed you. And, you know, Monique, I remember there was a day I felt my stomach getting tight because I was getting so many calls. And I said, no, I can't. I have to take care, obviously, of this beautiful little black soul growing inside of me. And I said, how can I get back? And so I wrote. And I engaged in scholarly activism with my book. And the beauty that I think that most folks are unaware of is just that scholarly activism. And it's essentially just creating and breaking barriers and boundaries in some sort of knowledge or academic sphere, right? Common ways, dissertations, thesis, majors, presentations, books, chapters, blogs, newspapers. I say social media. Some people don't feel that that's a form of activism, but let me tell you, I continue to learn a lot. Yeah, absolutely, right? It's teaching or research. So it's any way that what you're not only are you learning, but you are contributing in any sort of systemic barriers that's taking place and engaging, right? You're leaving a legacy. And so that's what my book is. A lot of the athletes in my dissertation and in the book, their majors were a form of activism as well. And it was beautiful. You know, and just like you were talking about earlier, Simone Biles and all the athletes that are courageously, you know, getting in front of that mic and not only sharing their journey, but they have stats, they have research to go about it. We think about Cap, the first time he kneeled in August, 2015. They asked him why, and if he hadn't have done his research, if he hadn't read up and met with different, you know, African ancestors, he articulated that in the most beautiful way because he had research, he had stats, and he continues to engage in that as well, as I believe he's got a publishing company too. So scholarly activism is my favorite. That's what I am embedded in every way that I can, teaching and of course with the book, but the students are engaging in the activism growth model. So I try to find a way to incorporate that in every way, but scholarly is my favorite, I have to say. I'm biased, but all of them are my favorite, but scholarly, I'm inundated in it now. So that's what, I love it. I love it.
So grassroots activism.
See, I'm so biased because I was going to say that's my favorite. Grassroots, I say it's beautiful because, and I always mess up this quote, but what is it? Invention is the necessity or the mother of necessity, right? I'm probably messing it up. But, it's essentially creating something from the ground up. Mm-hmm. If it's not here, create it, make it, right? And that's the beauty of, the time that we're living in is folks don't have to wait for networks to call. You just create shadow in the garden, right? Folks don't have to wait for publishing company. I created 710 Legacy LLC, and I published my book through there. So it's saying that you're creating from the ground up, and there's so many beautiful examples that we've seen and that I include in the book, paying homage to my dad and the other Black Panthers. But the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, one of the most beautiful grassroots activism, right? Civil rights movement, Black Lives Matter. Speaking of CAP, the Know Your Rights campaign, right? Miss Tawana, that book, I cannot wait to get that book because my husband and I talk about all the time, how are they going to do these kids dirty, essentially, right? Now they're able to make their own money, but how are these folks going to, take advantage? And I think that book is a wonderful resource. But when I was in my PhD program, I created something called the Black Doctoral Student Association. I knew as a Black woman earning a PhD in a dominantly white faith-based institution, it was a different experience, and I needed built-in support. Of course, they didn't have it, so I created it. A lot of students, even at the Black Student Athlete Summit in Texas, beautiful grassroots activism. I met a lot of the students in my dissertation, right, at the summit. Programs, campaigns, causes, organizations, businesses, right? Et cetera, just creating something from the ground up. And that's grassroots. And there's so many different examples, but if you can't see it, then be it.
That's exactly how I feel. So I'm going to ask you one question, and that should round us up. And so hopefully the things we talked about will spark you to get the book. We've talked about how to go find it. It's on Amazon. And it's on drgsbook.com. Am I right?
Yes. So there's updates. So we've got the website. It's a one-stop shop. So it's www.drjasmine. If you're on the Chat of the Garden group, you know that my first name is spelled very fine. Mom and Dad added some type to it. So it's not with a J, but it's a G. So it's www.drgyasmine.com, drjasmine.com, and then you click on the homepage, and there's my book, and you click on that, and it'll take you right to Amazon. So, folks that want to learn more about the activism growth model, the Black Athlete Activist Leadership Model, which I unpack in the book, and like I said, I'm a counselor, so I work with folks and mentor, how can they find their calling? Because we need you all. So, yep, drjasmine.com. That's the one-stop shop.
Well, I was going to ask this one question, and I got 1 minute, but I'm going to ask anyway. When you think about activist ancestors from the past to the present, whom do you admire? And we'll close out with that.
I admire my daddy. I admire Huey P. Newton. I admire Angela Davis. I mean, Maya Angelou, so many beautiful Black men and women and individuals that have been muses to me. James Baldwin, he just celebrated a birthday, so many. And I'm so thankful for them. My mama, so thankful for them all. And thankful for you, Monique, for having me on.
Oh, it's been a joy. I mean, I love the book, and I think everybody should get it, and we're going to do some more with this book. We might do like a book club on inside a Facebook group, so you need to go ahead and go get the book so then you can be ready. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for for being with us and investing with us in the Chattanooga, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for being you, Monique. You've been a blessing to so many people, and I appreciate being in the mix.
Thank you. And thank you to Jama Harrison of Refined Solutions, who is our engineer in my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates from show guests and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.